ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। This chapter entitled as Dhyana Yoga, the Yoga of Meditation, is the last chapter in Part A. If you split Bhagavad Gita in three parts, Part A, Part B, Part C, the Bhagavad Gita, as you know, has 18 chapters, and it is nothing but the explanation for Tattvamasi. Right? Tom is explained in the first six chapters. Tat is explained in the middle six chapters. The connection between the two, the individual you and Tat, the reality, the connection is explained. The Jnana portion comes in last part three. So the first part concludes with chapter six, Jnana Yoga. Dhyana is translated as meditation in English. Dhyana is the last stage before realization. Right? You come, you bring your mind to a single pointed concentration upon the Atman within, and the mind resolves itself and you become one with the reality. Tvam resolves itself in Tat. Thereafter, what remains is only the reality. Like a river merges into ocean, and the river loses its individuality and gains the totality. It becomes ocean. It has lost its individuality as a river, but you can't say it has lost itself. It is in fact gained by becoming an ocean. So the finite dissolves into the infinite. The last stage is meditation. Now meditation is not something that anybody and everybody can plunge into. You need to have proper preparation before you can plunge into meditation. If you prepare and then plunge into meditation, because you become meditative, you will slide into it and then you will be able to realize yourself. If you don't prepare and plunge yourself in the hope that you can get into realization through shortcut methods, you will damage the mind more severely. Therefore, Master always cautions us. That is why we keep on mentioning that the road to meditation is like this. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, you must do according to your proportion. Everybody is made up of a physical body, mind and intellect, right? Enlivened by Atma, the consciousness. You want to use the body, mind, intellect to get to the Atma, to become one with the reality. Using the body, you do Hatha Yoga and Karma Yoga. Using the mind, you do Bhakti Yoga. Using the intellect, you do Jnana Yoga. But the proportion may vary from person to person. Because one may be more physical, another may be more emotional, another may be more intellectual. Everyone must do all the yogas, but the proportion may vary. So that is why we need to understand that it is individualistic. You can't do too much of Bhakti if you are more of physical and less of emotional. You have to do Bhakti, but to the extent that it is needed for your personality.
Bhakti is the mind.
Yeah, Bhakti is for the mind. So, Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, all the four yogas you must do. Especially in the beginning, when you are extremely extroverted, the desires are too much in your bosom. In such a situation, if you go to sit down and do meditation, your mind only will be wandering. Because inside is full of desires. If you simply close your eyes, doesn't mean your thoughts will be shunted out. Right? They say stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars the cage. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars the cage. What does it mean? If you arrest the fellow, you put him, imprison him in a room, he's surrounded by walls, stone walls. But it doesn't imprison his thoughts, it only imprisons his body. So the saying goes, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars the cage. Inside, his thoughts are going to run helter-skelter. Similarly, if you close your eyes and sit down in a meditative posture, it doesn't mean that you are meditating, you become meditator. So you got to offload the bulk of your desires. The bulk of the desires can be offloaded through karma yoga. This is the primary message Lord Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna happens to be a man of action like you and me. And a man of action suddenly decides to leave the battlefield and goes to the and wants to go to the forest to be able to contemplate and realize the self. So Lord Krishna says that is not the path for you. You got to rise. Sannyas, a lot of people think is giving up. Sannyas has got nothing to do with giving up. Sannyas is growing up. The biggest problem in this country, for the matter throughout the world, is people associate sannyas to giving up. Sannyas is not giving up, it is growing up. It's rising above. So that in your mind, the world is not there. You are spiritual not because you are living in the world. You are spiritual because in your mind, God resides and not the world resides. If in your mind the world resides, but your body resides in mandir, you are not spiritual. But in your mind God resides, but you happen to reside in a bank as a cashier, counting money every day, but in your mind only God resides, then you are spiritual. Isn't it? So he says, first verse, which is a very important verse in chapter 6. Lord Krishna talks here, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha saha sanyasi saha yogi na niragnir na chakri yaha. You must try to remember this verse. Reflect over it. It's basically talking about performing what you ought to do, karma yoga, the spirit of karma yoga. With samarpana buddhi, arpana bhava and prasada bhava. Right? You do your actions, but the desires are there, therefore you do the action. But renouncing what? Phal. Phal ki baare mein don't think. Socho mat. Karyam should be done. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Action must be done. Don't think of the result. Right? And if you remain inactive, then also you are not a sannyasi or a yogi. If you remain without a goal, then also you are not a sannyasi or a yogi. You must renounce the fall. So in other words, he is emphasizing on karma yoga, on offloading the bulk of your desire. Sometimes they say, you know, the flight is overloaded. Therefore they'll say, we want to offload the fuel a little bit. Isn't it? It will not take off. So they want to offload the fuel. Similarly, you can't take off in meditation. Right? If the world pulls you with its gravitation, it's not possible. And the samsara maya is tremendous gravity. It has tremendous gravity. It will pull you. Like if you want to launch a rocket, you got to make sure using physics that it is able to propel itself beyond the gravitational path, isn't it? Otherwise, don't take off. Don't go. Similarly, the samsara will pull, including conducting class as a samsara. It's up to you how you make sure it's not a samsara. Trust me, you have no idea. Anything can bind you. There are stories of Jadabharata. Last time he got involved with a deer. Isn't it? Anything can be, you have no idea. A stray dog, you will get involved. You got to rise above the world. You got to perform karma yoga. And when you want to establish yourself into quietitude, you must first establish yourself in yoga. For that, you must do karma yoga. Through karma yoga, your mind becomes relatively calm. And a calm mind can take to meditation. Calm mind can take to meditation. Relative quietitude is needed. Otherwise, you can't take meditation. And you got to help yourself by yourself and bring yourself to such a situation. Verse number 5, chapter 6. Which is again a very important verse. Udharet atmanatmanam, atmanatmanam avasare, atmaiva atmano bandhu, atmaiva ripurasana. You must learn in spirituality that dependence on anything other than atma will lead you to suffering. You are suffering not because of the world, because of your dependence on the world. You must remember this in your mind. You are suffering not because of the world, but because of your dependence on the world. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful example. He says a child holds on to a pillar with one arm around it and it swings itself around the pillar. Right? Have you seen that? Children, they will put the arm, one arm around the pillar and then they go around revolving. Like that he says, you must depend only on the truth. If you depend on impermanent, you will suffer. Vedanta is not saying don't play about in impermanence. Play about in impermanence. But dependence should not be there on impermanence. Ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam harati nimeshat kalasa. Harati nimeshat kalasa. Yavana garvam. Yavana means what? Youth. Dana, wealth. Jana, following. Adishankara says, Ma kuru dana jana yavana karma. Do not have pride of youth, wealth, and following. Harati nimeshat kala. Harati nimeshat means in a fraction of second. In a spur of the moment, everything is gone. Kala. Elsewhere he says the same, Kala kridati gachati ayu. Kala is playing, you know, is playing about. Mandalin Srinivasa is no more. He's only 45, he was only 45. People say, mandolin, they wonder how he used mandolin for Carnatic music. First of all, they didn't know that they could use mandolin for Carnatic music. And he was a prodigy. I think age of 7 or 12, he already started giving kacheri, performance throughout the world. Prodigy. No more. 45 years old. Right? That's life. Harati nimeshat kalasar. Well, it's gone. Fraction of second. It's life, right? How the whole thing changes? You must play. You are wrong. What can you do? Everything is impermanent. So therefore, don't depend on it. That's all. It's like you know that the chair is made of cardboard, not even cardboard, paper. Paper chair. We won't try to sit on it. Is it the fault of the paper chair? It's your stupidity, isn't it? No, you should know that it is paper chair. Sit, whatever the paper chair could be used for, use it. Have fun. That's all Vedanta is saying. Please understand it correctly. If you take world to be satyam, who will suffer? Right? So therefore he says here, udaret atmanatmanam natmanam avasadaye atmaiva atmano banduhu atmaiva ripuratmanah. Your mind alone is your friend, your mind alone is your enemy. You must keep your mind in truth, not in the world. Mind left to itself, it will go towards the world. You got to bring it back towards the atma. That's why we say, you know, study every day. The power of Maya is not a joke. Even while you are in the spiritual field, you can get involved in the world. You can get involved in the so-called spiritual world. You have to be very careful. The world pulls you. Its attractions pull you. Very deadly. So he says, let man live himself by himself. Let him not lower himself. The choice is with you. You can lift yourself or you can lower yourself. You are the architect of your fortune, you are the architect of your misfortune. You make yourself, you mar yourself, nobody else. You mar yourself, you put yourself on a dependent condition of the world. You lift yourself, if you withdraw the dependence and start depending on Bhagavan. That's all. Arjuna depended on Bhagavan. Duryodhana depended on the army. You don't even have to start the Gita to understand all these things. Even before, the Pandavas won the battle because they depended on Satyam. Kauravas lost the battle because they depended on the quantity. Everybody is running business. What are you depending on? Profit, not process. Right? Depend on permanent aspects of life, not the impermanent aspects of life. Ethics and, you know, ethics in business. How many people really depend on ethics? Right? In management. Depend on many other factors, not on ethics. You don't understand how it works. He said, let man lift himself by himself. Self-dependence. Swami Vivekananda says, he is an atheist who does not believe in himself, not who does not believe in God. According to Swami Vivekananda, he defines an atheist as one who does not believe in himself. We have the definition as what? Who does not believe in God. True believer is one who believes in Atma, not in the world. When the test comes, do you stand up for the world or do you stand up for the truth? Every one of us, when the test comes, will stand up for the truth. Not for the truth. God keeps on giving us those moments. So he says, one who uses that capacity and not depend on the world, depends on himself and strives, Atma becomes his friend. Helps him to get to the truth faster. Slowly, slowly, a yogi rises to the level of a jnani. Right? You got to offload the bulk of your dharana and then slowly gain jnana yogyata, become qualified to gain jnana. 1 hour of study also. To be able to sit down and concentrate, you need to have a little bit of quiet mind. Isn't it? supposing you leave many things half finished and you come quickly to the class, you think you'll be able to concentrate here? Your mind will be concerned what is happening there, whether, oh, this is done, that is done, isn't it? So therefore he says, don't be in a hurry. Do Karma Yoga. Use your efforts. Depend on yourself, not on the mental world. And do it as a yoga. Whatever you have to do, do it as a yoga. Then your mind will slowly become calm. Then you will attain the supreme. You will become absolutely self-controlled, peaceful, balanced in heat and cold, pleasure and pain, honor and dishonor, etc. Right? So then he talks about the state of a jnani. A jnani, who is a jnana? One who is not affected by the variations, fluctuations that happens around him. Around him also fluctuations will happen. Only difference is, inside is always relaxed. In our case, the fluctuations outside determine our inner state. In this case, the fluctuation outside has got nothing to do with inner state. And outside also he views everything with equanimity. Lump of earth or gold or a stone. He views everything equally, jnani. But to attain that state, he went through Karma Yoga. Grahastha Ashrama. Simply if you don't do that and take up upper row, doesn't mean that you will be ready for meditation. You have to slowly, gradually rise. And then he has equal regard for friends, foes, enemies, everybody. World can talk good, world can talk ill about him or her. Inside the person remains the same. He attains such a state. And to attain such a state, you need to follow certain external and internal disciplines. Right? Bahya and Antara disciplines. Sadhana. Bahiranga, Antara, Sadhana. First he talks about place. He talks about solitude. Now what do you understand by solitude? What do you understand from solitude? And he says, let the yogi remaining in solitude, before plunging into meditation, he says, select a quiet place. Why?
Is
a very quiet place itself or mind is disturbed? In an environment which is not continuously worship. And what does solitude mean? Solitude means not run away from groups, as if something wrong with the groups. Solitude means to be able to be comfortable in a group. You need to prepare yourself. A lot of times what happens, a lot of people talk to you, can't go to the group. Because they are spiritual. Actually they are spiritual, you should be comfortably going to the group. You take Krishna into discotheque, you will be comfortable. You take Krishna into meditation room, very comfortable. Yoga ratova, bhoga ratova. Sangha ratova, sangha vihina. That is the definition of a realized school, of a ignorant school. As if it's some spiritual quality that you have. In a way you are blaming, putting people down. Criticism. So he says, remaining in solitude, select a place and time. Sometimes what happens, place will not be available, especially in Mumbai. Wherever you find quiet place, in a city, bubbling with activity, finding a quiet place is very difficult. Right? Night, it becomes even more dynamic in its own way. Now, where are you going to? Early morning, quiet place and time, you get. Even in an environment which is tremendously active throughout the night. Around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, everything slowly starts shutting down. So you say, select a quiet place, quiet time, and then choose your asana on which you want to sit down for meditation. And that asana will be chosen by you. Right? You have given me this chair and I am comfortable. From day one, I have been sitting here, so I was comfortable, so I just, no problem. Like that, in Dubai once I used to, when I was training classes there, I used to be sitting on a particular chair. That particular day, for some reason, they changed the chair. And they wanted to give me nice, chair with cushion now. It was not a chair, it was more of a, sofa. Cushion and all. I just arrived just about time. I sat there and I started the class. And as I'm lecturing, so always the shit is going down and I said, but I'm a Swami, I can't show the uncomfortable feeling and all that, you know. But it was not the case. I said, just change my chair here. Yeah. I mean, not that it's disturbing me, but you know, you have to be careful what is happening, whether, you know, whether no, please give me that chair only. Make sure all those disturbing factors are eliminated. That's all you need. So select a seat which is comfortable for you. Then a posture. Right? Hatha yoga. Why do you do Hatha yoga? So that throughout the day the body cooperates. So now if you want to sit, within that 1 hour, how many times you change your posture? Because the body is not healthy. Right? He also talks about regulating your food and sleep. Why? Why regulating food and sleep becomes important and essential in spiritual field? In fact, forget spiritual field. Even in material field, it is very much needed. Can you tell me why it is? We talked about
it. Once your body is comfortable, then only your mind will again, otherwise you will be concentrating on the body. If you have a problem.
Exactly. When you have a problem in any part of the body, your consciousness gets stuck to that part.
Yeah.
If you have eaten too much, your consciousness will get stuck to the belly. Isn't it? Therefore, you've got to make sure that the consciousness is free flowing, not getting stuck. So regulation is important. Of food and sleep both. If you don't sleep, you'll come and sleep here. Right? Or if you sleep too much, then it has its own repercussions. Always in the spiritual field, there should not be excesses. The excess is a problem. Either you will be denying yourself too much, or you will be indulging yourself too much. Both indulgence and denial will make your consciousness get stuck here or there. Amen. Therefore it talks about regulation. Then he talks about self-control. What? Control of the senses. Throughout you will see in the scriptures, without sense control, they will not talk about. Without mentioning sense control, they will not talk about meditation. They will not talk about meditation without sense control. But you will find in many places, they are not giving emphasis to that. So here he emphasizes on that sense control. Then, next one. Pranayama, which is controlling your breath and the mind. Next. Then developing intellectual conviction.
Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya.
Some temptations will come. Go. It's not easy. desire it, I'll go to do meditation. That time somebody says, hey, let us go. Okay, I'll go for that and then come and do meditation. So Dhruva story, and Dhruva went to forest, he started meditating. The story goes, God appeared in front of him. Mahavishnu appeared in front of him, Chaturbhuja Vishnu. And Dhruva closed his eyes and meditated. So Mahavishnu told, my son Dhruva, please open your eyes, I have come to bless you. You know what he said? He said, my mother told me that you are within me. Come within me. I am not opening my eyes. This is Dhruva. Right? He didn't open his eyes even when Mahavishnu came. He was not interested in capturing God externally. That should be your mission. So the external and internal disciplines. And then when a mind that goes through tremendous discipline, with all these disciplines, the passion, the mind subsides. The mind becomes single-pointed. As a lamp in a windless place does not flicker, that similarly reflects a yogi with subdued mind practicing unit in the world. So the mind becomes one point. So what I get? Like Hanumanji says in Tamil scripture, this is not scripture, it's Ramayana, written in Tamil by Kamban, we call it Kamban Ramayana. In that, Kamban talks about Hanumanji, and he says, Hanumanji said apparently when he met Mother Sita in Lanka, he says, "En kulathai enakku thandaal." En kulathai enakku thandaal means she gave back my family trait to me. Hanumanji belongs to what family? Monkey family. What is the trait of monkey family? Astira chanchala, isn't it? It's not fixed anywhere. That family trait apparently lost when he saw Rama. He said, my mind got fixed on Rama. Right? Hanumanji's mind got fixed on Rama. And when he met Mother Sita in Lanka, he said, very interestingly, she gave back my family trait to me, meaning, now I don't know whether to take my mind from Rama and fix it on Sita, or I should fix it on Rama. This is a very beautiful way of thinking. So, the fixation. Without focus, you can't get anything. Success, the secret of success is paying attention. Huh? Thoda, idhar, thoda, multi, what is that? Thoda, multitasking. You know? Multitasking. A lot of businessmen, due to greed, before finishing their one business and settling it properly, they'll start a loan. Why? You must know the opportunity is striking, the banks are ready to give loan. You must take it. They'll take it. And one more, they'll take it. The one, first one itself is not established. Second one, they're not going to do. Third one, fourth, fifth, it looks very nice. And I grow, whatever. Suddenly, one, that means, you know, you are running your business on some flimsy, something goes wrong. You're not able to pay back to the bank. This, that happens. They sit on your head, finished. How many people have gone business like that? There is no lot of people in that life. You've got to pay attention, sir. Establish yourself. Then you start, because it is taken care of. You know, don't break it up. Words sound very interesting. So he says, when the mind restrained by the practice of yoga comes to rest and then sees the self alone by the self, it is satisfied in the self. Through meditation, what happens is, you get chitta uparamana. Ramati means reveling. Right? Chitta should be
clearing within, Uta means near. Chitta Uta Bhana. Today our mind is reveling when? When does it revel?
Jagat appreciation.
Today the flowers out of the world.
Today you are something different. What does it mean? All these days you are something different? Then I revel. That is not what is in the world. Reveling within. Then the self is satisfied, the self by the
then he is talking about samadhi state here in these verses from 20 onwards, the state of samadhi. Then he says Atyantika Sukham. The Sukham that he gets, which is grasped by the intellect, buddhi, clean buddhi, which is devoid of any desire, it thereafter never grows. See, when a person grows into higher, he will not fall back to the low. If you learn to speak good English, you are not going to speak butler English thereafter. Isn't it? Once you are established, you are established. The problem is at the moment you don't know what is the Atyantika Sukham. He is experiencing Atyantika Labha. We do not know the Labha which is there inside. Therefore we are going to the petty, paltry pleasures. Trifle pleasures of the world. Trivial ones. How much pleasure can you get from the body? When a person doesn't know anything deeper, he only goes after it again and again. But the moment the guy experiences something subtler, emotional joy, thereafter he will not go towards the physical. You know, the new book, Holocaust of Attachment. I don't know how many of you read it, I don't know how many of you have got it. In the book, in one portion, he talks about relationships. Little controversial. Controversial in the sense people may misunderstand it. He gives an example, a beautiful book. He gives an example of a husband straying away in relationship, getting interested in some other woman. Right? So he gives an example, he says that lady, his wife, when he comes and answers this to her, I have another lady now, and he comes home late, she says, please don't come too late, your sleep will be disturbed, etc., etc. You might as well sleep there, take rest and then come. By this he says, that fellow, for a period of time, changes, and he goes and tells that other lady, bye-bye. Because of her, what, that's why I said, can be misunderstood. What he's saying here is, you look at it from the other person's point of view, and then with pure love, a person experiences pure love, the bodily attraction that he has, he rises above it. You can only rise above the lower when you are established in something higher. Without understanding this, we go on telling the other, get up, don't do this. A fellow doesn't know anything better. Alcoholics need love. Right? I'm just giving an example. They need love. Of course they need other medications and everything. More essentially they need love. Acceptance. Not people who are judging. Isn't it? Oliver Goldsmith says, there is no love in this universe. Love in this universe. Love is still an empty sound, unheard, unknown.
only attachment is there again. So, coming back to this,
Atyantika Labham.
The Labhi, we get ready to mortgage the wealth within for the bodily pleasure that we get from outside. You don't understand the value of what you are getting ready to mortgage. Once you got that Atyantika Labham, once you understood that, once you have gained it, thereafter no dukkha can come and affect you. It is not ruled by any sort of greatest or also the topic. Then let that be known as the yoga of severance from sorrow. When we talk about it, we explain yoga of severance from sorrow. Sorrow cannot come to you unless you ask for it. So even if you feel asleep, you wake up. Sorrow cannot come to you unless you ask for it. So every time you suffer, you ask for it. What do you mean by that? I gave you the example of thorn getting embedded into your flesh when you're walking. Sometimes thorn can get embedded into your soul. Right? And in Hindi, what do you say when such things happen? Means literal translation of it was what?
Thorn
poked you. Isn't it? Did the thorn come walking? And you ran on a thorn. Isn't it?
I didn't know I ran on a thorn.
Could be fine. I'm not saying that. In English, they say I ran on a thorn. In Hindi, they say thorn poked me. Tamil also is a Gurupatish. Gurupatish means the thorn poked me. The thorn has any intention to poke you. Similarly, world does not affect you. Nobody can affect you except world. The yoga of severance from sorrow. Meaning what? Now he refuses to identify with the world. You identify and you give it power. Don't identify. What Swamiji calls as switching off. Focus, switch off and focus on something else. Somebody is talking, donkey, you did this to me. There are the ways. Switch off from the world and switch on to that energy manifestation. My God, you say, God is manifesting as this tremendous energy in that person. You've converted the negative into positive. Yajna. You're performing yajna. You understand? So yoga of severance from the sorrow. Union with pain. You are united with pain. That's the problem. Just live it. Being that. Seeing from behind. You get, they say, get behind the wall. Get behind the wall. Whole idea of meditation is what? Getting behind. That is meditation. So it is little practice meditation, little by little, being seated, then practice meditation. And when you practice meditation, any thoughts come, let it gently dismiss it and not identify with it. Let you not think of anything else. Just observe the thoughts. The thoughts will slowly fade away. The consciousness will establish. And it is whatever may be the thoughts, because of which the thoughts are coming again and again. Now you get out of meditation, see. You sit down, try to practice meditation. And then you try to practice meditation. Tremendous thoughts will come. You observe, witness. Some of the weak thoughts wane away. But powerful thoughts keep on coming. It doesn't allow you to do meditation. Then he says, find out the cause and eliminate that. There's no point forcing yourself to sit on the seat of meditation without finding the cause and eliminate it.
So he says, by whatever cause the unsteady and restless mind wanders away, restraining it from that, let him bring it under the control of the self alone. Then you will become prashantam asam. You will realize, you will achieve supreme bliss comes to that yogi, whose mind is perfectly tranquil, whose passion is calm, who is sinless. Sinless means vasanaless. Thereafter, he has zero vasana. He is attained samadhi. He has become one with Atma through meditation. Excuse me. Thus, constantly practicing union with the self, the yogi becomes freed from vasana. Now the question is, how did you develop vasana?
By living in the world and being in interaction with everything around
you. By constant, unintelligent, unconscious thought flow, you built vasana. Dhyayato vishayam pusaha sangateshu vajayate. 62, 63, chapter 2. Sangha anjayate kamaha kama krodho vijayate krodha bhavati sammohaha sammoha smriti vibramha smriti vibramshat buddhinashaha buddhinashat pranashyati. How did the whole thing start? By constant, unintelligent, unconscious thought flow. Going, seeing somebody is not the problem. Very well, thinking, and the first is very interesting, very entertaining. Then what happens? I cannot live without her. I cannot live without him. I cannot live without that. What is the use of life without her? Come to you. You understand? How did the whole thing start? Thoughts. And you went on and on about it. Constantly. Now, therefore, how do you break this chain of vasanas now? How did you develop vasanas? Can you repeat that?
By unconscious thinking, not conscious thinking.
That's all.
And trying to slowly.
That's why your name is Buddha. The thing is, consciously, you got to send your thoughts towards the higher, so that the old pattern loses its strength, and your mind gets to focus on the higher, you get established there, the vasanas dissolve. So how you should do it? Otherwise, there will be a gap between what you know and what you are. You may know many things. But are you that? If you know something and you are not that, then you don't know actually. So he says, constantly practicing union with the self. Through what? Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Then you will easily, he says, attain the bliss of contact with Brahma. Slowly, slowly you will attain the bliss. Then such a person, what is the test of development? He will see the self in all beings and all beings in the self. The test of development is what? Oneness. You understand? Even through the black skin, you will still see the same self. Even through the white skin, you will still see the same self. Even through the ferocious tiger that mauled a man in the zoo yesterday, day before in Delhi, you will see the self. Isn't it? The tiger mauled it after a girl jumped into it. You still will see the self. But Jesus Christ was hung, crucified. he was put into such a difficulty. They were leading him, right? Driving the nearly to the farm. What did he say?
Father, forgive them. They know not what they are
doing. You know, this is the one. He understands that the Atma, the poor fellows are not using their energy to lift themselves. They are using their energy to lower themselves. So he is praying for them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. That is spiritual. So there is oneness. And the fellow who starts seeing the self every day, he is always alert and conscious. He never loses his awareness. How? Even if he is dwelling in something else. In other words, his profession may be something else. For example, his profession may be witching. Even then he never, that's why he says, he who established in oneness worships me abiding in all beings, that yogi dwells in me whatever be his mode of living. Therefore Swamiji says, it is not what you do that matters, but how you do it. It's not what you do, yes? Such a person who sees oneness every day, thereafter his lifestyle doesn't matter. In our case, we have to be careful. Even in a spiritual environment, we are developing sensual thoughts. But in this case, even in a sensual environment, he will only be spiritual. So he says, he who through the likeness of the self, Arjuna, sees equality everywhere through joy and sorrow, he is considered a supreme yogi. Now Arjuna gets a doubt. How is this possible to attain such a state? Is it possible at all? Can the mind be brought to such a state? Why? Because mind is what? Chanchalam, restless, dramati, is what? Prevalent, balam, strong, dridam, firm. Can such a mind be brought to one-pointedness? What is Lord Krishna's answer? Without doubt, O Arjuna, what you say is right. But with? As, what does he say? With? Vyasa and Vairagya. And what Abhyasa? Abhyasa generally to be taken as all the practices. Hatha Yoga, Kapha Yoga, Kapha Yoga, Jnana Yoga. But he is specifically talking about Viveka Abhyasa. And what did we talk about Viveka Abhyasa as? When you contact the world, question. Swamiji says, you know, how to develop the intellect? Don't take anything for granted and question everything. Don't take anything for granted and question everything. But we do everything ulta. We take everything for granted. Viveka Abhyasa Hona Chahiye. When you contact, if you pause and question, slowly, slowly you will find that uncontrollable passion that is driving you to contact the object slowly reduce. There is something called as conscious eating. The way to overcome gluttony, the way to overcome overeating is conscious eating, not withdrawal. When you start consciously eating, you will start enjoying the food. That also happens. So he said, Arjuna is being told by Lord Krishna, Re Arjuna, to Viveka Abhyasa. When you contact, question, where the sukham is coming from? Is it coming from the object or is it coming from within? What is the answer? Is it coming from the object or is it coming from within? How do you know that? What are the explanations for it that we discussed? If
it is coming from the object, then every time you contact it, you should get it. And everybody who contacts it must get it. First mango, very tasty. Second mango, tasty. Third mango, after some time you say, okay. 25th mango, you say, please take it away. Right? If it was in mango, then you should get it even in the 250th mango, 1000th mango, 10th mango. But it doesn't happen. That's not the case. Isn't it? Similarly, if you think it's coming from the object, then every buddy who contacts me, they say, there are people who run away from mangoes. Theek hai? Before, like that. There are so many explanations we gave. This is just a summary time. I'm not going to the details. So, Viveka Vyasa, your question. I also gave you the example of dog eating a dry bone. Remember that? In Shastras, they give this example. A dry bone a dog finds on the road and it starts chewing it, biting it. And when it bites, the dry bone goes and gets stuck on the upper jaw. Then what happens? The dog starts bleeding from inside. Then it's tasting its own blood. And what the dog is thinking? The blood is coming from inside the bone and it starts chewing it more. This is what is happening to us with other people. You contact the world and you apparently get joy and you think it's coming from the world, but the joy is actually coming from Atma. So when you do Viveka Vyasa, you get it, you understand it. When you understand it, what happens? Vairagya automatically happens. Vairagya means what? Your mind on its own doesn't go to the world. Why? Because it is understood that there is no joy in this world.
Joy is always from
within.
So when Lord Krishna said this, through Vyasa you can get it. Another question Arjuna asks, this, if somebody puts in tremendous effort in sadhana, but before realization, they die. Like a rent cloud, like a cloud that is separated from the total cloud, getting vanishing due to the strength of the wind, will you not get that way lost in? Arjuna is asking this question to Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna says, what does he say? Verse number 40. I told you, whatever you forget, don't forget that. What is that? Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. O beloved Arjuna, one who does good never comes to suffer.
You start from there, you leave. When you die, what do you take with you? Nothing. You only take with you your sanchita karma. Your karma, you take your all the karma you take, nothing else. Isn't it? You don't take anything else. The kind of effort that you have put in, accordingly you will be given birth in the next gender.
And a person who did so much of tapas, struggle, he is either born in a rich family with values, or he is born in a family of a rishi. There such a person doesn't rest. There also he strives more. Do you understand this? He doesn't sit on his laurels.
Only a stupid fellow will sit on somebody's laurels. There is something in there. Fine, I will continue my struggle. Vedanta said, Swamiji beautifully puts it. He says, your motto in life should be to strive, to struggle, not to suffer.
Therefore, for a Vedantin, the question of why should I strive doesn't come. This question only, how should I strive? To strive, to struggle, not to suffer, should be your motto in life. So, nahi kalyana krit kachit durgatim tata kachati. I even quoted Swami Ramakrishna, we talked about it, right? I said, bhakti is faith in good rather than faith in God. Bhakti is faith in good rather than faith in God. So when you continue in the process, you continue from when you left Kinkabaji died. From the beginning, there is a huge Nagupa, even though the environment is conducive, you will still strive and get there. It will be a tailwind there. Your engine will continue to run, but with tailwind, you will reach much faster. It's just a question of time. Then what Krishna says, Tasma Yogi Bhava Arjuna. Please remember this coinage. Tasma Yogi Bhava. Bhava means become. Yogi Bhava. Become a yogi. Life of a human being is not to be spent in selfishness. It's not to be like a yogi. Rooted in the higher all the time. You can go out in the world doing everything, but inside you must be rooted in the higher form. A yogi is superior to karmi, jnani, everybody is it. Tapasvi, upasaka. A yogi, he puts himself, he puts yogi as superior to all these people. Because why? First of all, people don't come to these things, even if they come, they get involved there. So there is objectivity, you must continue as a yogi. Not lose yourself in any of this karma bhakti jnana. You are doing karma bhakti jnana to get there, not to get lost in karma bhakti jnana. When father became the obstacle, Prabhupada said, go to him. He went above his father. Because truth alone is to be rich. In the case of Parshurama, it was the mother. In the case of Mahabali, it was Guru. In the case of Veera, it was the husband. There is husband, wife, friend, relative, Guru, Yogi, whoever it might be, they come in between you and the truth. You should be able to stand up for that. Then you are a yogi. Such a yogi is very rare. So he says, Tasmat Yogi Bhava Arjuna. Thus, this chapter comes to an end. Jnana Yoga.
पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति 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 सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।